Come, Joan. You've had enough praying. After that fit of crying, you'll catch a chill if you stay here any longer. It's all over. The cathedral is empty and the streets are full. They're calling for the maid. We've told them that you're staying here alone to pray, but they want to see you again.
No. Let the king have all the glory.
He only spoils the show, poor devil. No, Joan, you've crowned him, and you must go through with it. Oh, come, come. It will all be over in a couple of hours. It's better than the Bridge at Orleans, eh?
Oh, dear Dunois, I wish it were the Bridge at Orleans again. We lived at that bridge.
Yes, faith, and died, too, some of us.
Isn't it strange, Jack? I am such a coward. I am frightened beyond words before a battle. But it is so dull afterwards when there is no danger. Oh, so dull, dull, dull.
You must learn to be abstemious in war just as you are in your food and drink, my little saint.
Dear Jack, I think you like me as a soldier likes his comrade.
You need it, poor innocent child of God. You've not many friends at court.
Why do they hate me? What have I done to them? I have asked nothing for myself, except that my village shall not be taxed, for we cannot afford war taxes. I have brought them luck and victory. I have set them right when they were doing all sorts of stupid things. I've crowned Charles and made him a true king, and all the honors he is handing out have gone to them. Why do they not love me?
Simpleton. Do you expect stupid people to love you for showing them up? Do ambitious politicians love the climbers who take the front seats from them? Do archbishops enjoy being played off their own altars, even by saints?
Oh.
I should be jealous of you myself if I were ambitious enough.
You are the pick of the basket here, Jack. The only friend I have among all these nobles. I'll wed your mother was from the country. I will go back to the farm when I have taken Paris.
I'm not so sure they will let you take Paris.
What?
Oh, I should have taken it myself before this if they'd all been sound about it. Some of them would rather Paris took you, I think. So take care.
Jack, the world is too wicked for me. If the Goddams and the Burgundians do not make an end of me, the French will. Only for my voices I should lose all heart. That is why I had to steal away here to pray alone after the coronation. I tell you something, Jack. It is in the bells I hear my voices. Oh, not today. When they all rang, that was nothing but jangling. But here in this corner, where the bells come down from heaven and the echoes linger, are in the fields when they come from a distance through the quiet of the countryside. My voices are in them. Hark! Do you hear? Dear child of God, just what you said. At the half hour they will say, be brave, go on. At the three quarters, they will say, I am thy help. But it is at the hour when the great bell goes after, God will save France. Oh, it is then that Saint Margaret and Saint Catherine, and sometimes even the blessed Michael himself, will say things I cannot foretell beforehand. Then. Oh, then.
Then, Joan, we shall hear whatever we fancy in the booming of the bell. You make me uneasy when you talk about your voices. I should think you were a bit cracked if I hadn't noticed that you give me very sensible reasons for what you do. Though I hear you telling others you're only obeying Madame St. Catherine.
Well, I have to find reasons for you, because you do not believe in my voices. But the voices come first, and I find the reasons after, whatever you may choose to believe.
Are you angry with me, Joan?
Yes, No, not with you. I wish you were one of the village babies.
Why?
I could nurse you for a while.
You are a bit of a woman after all.
No, not a bit. I am a soldier. Soldiers always nurse babies when they get the chance.
That's true. Well, your majesty is an anointed king at last. How do you like it?
I would not go through it again to be emperor of the sun and the moon. The weight of those robes. I thought I should have dropped when they loaded that crown onto me. And the famous holy oil they talked so much about was rancid. The archbishop must be nearly dead. His robes must have weighed a ton. They're stripping him still in the vestry.
Your majesty should wear armor oftener. That would accustom you to heavy dressing.
Yes. The old jibe. Well, I'm not going to wear armor. Fighting is not my job. Where is the maid?
Sire, I have made you king. My work is done. I am going back to my father's farm.
Who are you? Well, that will be very nice. A healthy life, you know.
But a dull one.
You'll find your petticoats tripping you up after leaving them off so long.
You will miss the fighting. It's a bad habit, but a grand one. And the hardest one to break yourself of.
Still, we don't want you to stay if you'd really rather go home.
I know well that none of you will be sorry to see me go.
Well, I shall be able to swear when I want to. But I shall miss you at times.
I hear, in spite of all your sins and swears, we shall meet in heaven. For I love you. As I love Peter, my old sheepdog. Peter could kill a wolf. You will kill the English wolves until they go back to their own country and become good dogs of God. Will you not?
You and I together, yes.
No. I shall last only a year from the beginning.
What?
I know it somehow.
Nonsense!
Jack, before I go home, let us take Paris.
Oh, no, no, we'll lose everything we've gained. Oh, don't let us have any more fighting. We can make a very good treaty with the Duke of Burgundy.
Treaty?
Well, why not, now that I'm crowned and anointed? Ugh, that oil. Archbishop, the maid wants to start fighting again.
Have we ceased fighting, then? Are we at peace?
No, I suppose not, but let us be content with what we have done. Our luck is too good to last. Now is our chance to stop before it turns.
Luck? God has fought for us, and you call it luck? And you would stop while there are still Englishmen on this holy earth of dear France.
Maid, the king addressed himself to me, not to you. You forget yourself. You very often forget yourself.
Then speak you and tell him it is not God's will he should take his hand from the plough.
If I am not so glib with the name of God as you are, it is because I interpret his will with the authority of the church. Because God has blessed your enterprise, you have stained yourself with the sin of pride. The old Greek tragedy is rising among us. It is the chastisement of hubris.
Yes, she thinks she knows better than anyone else.
But I do know better than any of you seem to. And I am not proud. I never speak unless I know I am right.
Just so.
But how do you know you are right?
I always know my voices.
Oh, your voices, your voices. Why don't the voices come to me? I'm the king, not you.
They do come to you, but you do not hear them. You have not sat in the fields in the evening listening for them. When the Angelus rings, you cross yourself and have done with it. But if you prayed from your heart and listened to the thrilling of the bells in the air after they have stopped ringing, you would hear the voices as well as I do. But what voices do you need to tell you what the blacksmith can tell you? That you must strike while the iron is hot. I tell you, we must make a dash of Compiègne and relieve it as we relieved Orleans. Then Paris will open its gates, or if not, we will break through them. What is your crown worth without your capital?
That's what I say, too. We shall go through them like a red-hot shot through a pound of butter. What do you say, bastard?
If our cannonballs were all as hot as your head and we had enough of them, we should conquer the earth, no doubt. Pluck and impetuosity are good servants in war, but bad masters. They've delivered us into the hands of the English every time we've trusted to them. We never know when we're beaten. That's our great fault.
You never know when you are victorious. That is a worse fault. You would have been besieged Orleans still, you and your councils of war, if I had not made you attack. You must always attack. You don't know how to begin a battle, and you don't know how to use your cannons, and I do.
I know what you think of us, General Joan.
Never mind that, Jack. Tell them what you think of me.
I think that God was on your side. For I've not forgotten how the wind changed and how our hearts changed when you came. And by my faith, I shall never deny that it was in your sign that we conquered. But I tell you as a soldier that God is no man's daily drudge and no maid's either. He set us on our feet through you at Orleans, and the glory of it has carried us through a few good battles here to the coronation. But if we presume on it further and trust to God to do the work we should do ourselves, we shall be defeated and serve us right.
What?
I've not finished. Do not think, any of you, that these victories of ours were won without generalship. King Charles, you've said no word in your proclamations about my part in this campaign, and I make no complaint of that. For I know the people will run after the maid and her miracles, and not the bastard's hard work finding troops for her and feeding them. I know exactly how much God did for us through the maid, and how much he left me to do by my own wits. And I tell you that your little hour of miracles is over, and that from this time on, he who plays the war game best will win, if the luck is on his side.
Ah, if. If ifs and ands were pots and pans, there'd be no need of tinkers. I tell you, bastard, your art of war is no use, because your knights are no use at real fighting. War is only a game to them. Do you think men that are fighting for God and for France will stop to bargain about ransoms, as half your knights live by doing? No. They will fight to win. Common folk understand this. They cannot afford armor, and they cannot pay ransoms. But they followed me, half naked, into the moat and up the ladder and over the wall. With them it is my life or thine, and God defend the right. You may shake your head, Jack, and Bluebeard may twirl his billy goat's beard and cock his nose at me. But remember the day your knights and captains refused to follow me to fight the English at Orleans. You locked the gates to keep me in, and it was the townsfolk and the common people that followed me and forced the gates and showed you the way to fight in earnest.
Not content with being Pope, Joan, you must be Caesar and Alexander as well.
Pride will have a fall, Joan.
Never mind whether it is pride or not. Is it true? Is it common sense?
It is true. Half of us are afraid of getting our handsome noses broken, and the other half are after paying off their mortgages. Let her have her way, Dunois. She does not know everything, but she does have hold of the right end of the stick. Fighting's not what it was, and those who know the least about it often make the best job of it.
I know all that. I do not fight in the old way. I've learnt the lesson of Agincourt to Poitiers and Cressy. I know how many lives any move of mine will cost. And if the move is worth the cost, I make it and pay the cost. But Joan never counts the cost at all. She goes ahead and trusts to God. She thinks she has God in her pocket. Up to now, she's had the numbers on her side and she's won. But I know Joan. And I see that someday she will go ahead when she's only 10 men to do the work of 100. And then she will find that God is on the side of the big battalions. She will be taken by the enemy. And the lucky man that makes the capture will receive £16,000 from the Earl of Warwick.
£16,000, eh, laddie, have they offered that for me? There cannot be so much money in the world.
There is in England. And now tell me, all of you, which of you will lift a finger to save Joan once the English have got her? I speak first for the army. The day after she's been dragged from her horse by a Gardam or a Burgundian and is not struck dead, the day after she's locked in a dungeon and the bars and bolts do not fly open at the touch of St. Peter's angel, the day when the enemy finds out that she is as vulnerable as I am and not a bit more invincible, she will not be worth the life of a single soldier to us. And I will not risk that life, much as I cherish her as a companion in arms.
I do not blame you, Jack. You are right. I will not be worth the life of a single soldier if God lets me be beaten. But maybe France will think me worth my ransom after what God has done for her through me.
I tell you, I have no money. And this coronation, which is all your fault, has cost me the last farthing I can borrow.
The church is richer than you. I put my trust in the church.
Woman, They will drag you through the streets and burn you as a witch.
Oh, my lord, do not say that. It is impossible. I, a witch? You would not let them burn me.
How could I prevent them?
You would speak in the name of the church. You are a great prince of the church. I would go anywhere with your blessing to protect me.
I have no blessing for you while you are proud and disobedient.
Oh, why will you go on saying things like that? I am not proud. I am a poor girl and so ignorant. I do not know A from B. How could I be proud? And how can you say that I am disobedient when I always obey my voices because they come from God?
The voice of God on earth is the voice of the church militant. And all the voices that come to you are the echoes of your own willfulness.
It is not true!
You tell the archbishop in his cathedral that he lies, and yet you say you are not proud and disobedient.
I never said you lied. It was you as much as said my voice is lied. When have they ever lied? Are they not always right? And are not your earthly counsels always wrong?
It is a waste of time admonishing you.
Always comes back to the same thing. She is right and everyone else is wrong.
Take this as your last warning. If you perish through setting your private judgment above the instructions of your spiritual directors, the church disowns you and leaves you to whatever fate your presumption may bring upon you. The bastard has told you that if you persist in setting up your military conceit above the counsels of your command...
To put it quite exactly, if you attempt to relieve the garrison in Compiègne without the same superiority in numbers you had at Orleans...
The army will disown you and will not rescue you. And His Majesty the King has told you that the throne has not the means of ransoming you.
Not a penny.
You stand alone, absolutely alone, trusting to your own conceit, your own ignorance, your own headstrong presumption, your own impiety in hiding all these sins under the cloak of a trust in God. When you pass through these doors into the sunlight, the crowd will cheer you. They will bring you their little children and their invalids to heal. They will kiss your hands and feet and do what they can, poor simple souls, to turn your head and madden you with the self-confidence that is leading you to your destruction. But you will be nonetheless alone. They cannot save you. We, and we only, can stand between you and the stake.
I have better friends and better counsel than yours.
I see I am speaking in vain to a hardened heart. You reject our protection and are determined to turn us against you. In future, then, fend for yourself, and if you fail, God have mercy on your soul.
That is the truth, Joan. Heed it.
Where would you all have been now if I had heeded that sort of truth? There is no help, no counsel in any of you. Yes, I am alone on earth. I have always been alone. My father told my brothers to drown me if I would not stay to mind his sheep while France was bleeding to death. France might perish if only our lambs were safe. I thought France would have friends in the court of the King of France. And I find only wolves fighting for pieces of our poor, torn body. I thought God would have friends everywhere because He is the friend of everyone. And in my innocence, I thought that you, who now cast me out, would be like strong towers to keep harm from me. But I am wiser now. And nobody is any the worse for being wiser. Do not think you can frighten me by telling me I am alone. France is alone. And God is alone. And what is my loneliness before the loneliness of my country and my God? I see now that the loneliness of God is his strength. Where would he be if he listened to your jealous little counsels? Well, my loneliness shall be my strength too. It is better to be alone with God. His friendship will not fail me, nor his counsel, nor his love. In his strength, I will dare and dare and dare until I die. I will go out now to the common people and let the love in their eyes comfort me for the hate in yours. You will all be glad to see me burned. But if I go through the fire, I will go through it to their hearts forever and ever. And so God, be with me.
You know, the woman's quite impossible. I don't dislike her, really, but what are you to do with such a character?
As God is my judge, if she fell into the Loire, I would jump in full armor to fish her out. But if she plays the fool at Compiègne and gets caught, I must leave her to her doom.
Then you had better chain me up, for I would follow her to hell when the spirit rises in her like that.
She disturbs my judgment, too. There is a dangerous power in her outbursts. But the pit is open at her feet, and for good or evil, we cannot turn her from it.
If only she would keep quiet or go home.